You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Today on the show, we'll talk Arkansas basketball, their game tonight at Alabama. First, a word from our sponsor.
I'm William Clark Green. Been chasing songs all over this great country for years now. It's been a blast, but the road will wear you out. Good food makes it better. Rudy's is the go-to for me and the crew. No frills, just real Texas barbecue, done right. Brisket, ribs, cream corn, that famous sauce. It's like a little piece of home when you're nowhere near it. Don't get me started on those breakfast tacos. Serve till 10 a.m., which is perfect if you're living on musician time. Find a Rudy's at Rudy's.com. Who knows? You might just bump into me in line.
This is a really big game tonight in terms of the SEC basketball standings. Arkansas two games back of Florida now with just, you know, six games left to play in the SEC season. Alabama a game back of Arkansas. In fact, there's a handful of teams that are right there in the eight-win grouping. You got Vanderbilt, Alabama, and Tennessee are all 8-4. Kentucky and Texas both 8-5 after results last night. Arkansas 9-3, Florida 11-2 in the SEC standings. Top 25 matchup, Razorbacks are number 20, Alabama number 25. And really ever since Eric Musselman got to Arkansas and Nate Oates got to Alabama, this Arkansas-Alabama game has been one that you kind of circle and say that should be a good one whenever those teams get together. And nothing's changed since John Calipari has gotten to Arkansas. Anthony Christensen is in Tuscaloosa. He'll be at the game tonight. It's a 6 o'clock tip-off on ESPN. Anthony, what are the keys to this game, and what are Arkansas's chances to go down there and pull off a road win at Alabama?
Yeah, so I think the biggest key, I mean, it kind of comes down to the pace of play, right? I mean, Alabama has the number one tempo in the country, averaging, I think, 73.9 possessions per game, if I'm not mistaken, which I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But, you know, Arkansas plays at a high pace, too. I mean, Arkansas, I believe, is 25 in the country in tempo. And yeah, I think average is right around the 70 possessions per game mark. So it's going to be a lot of possessions, a lot of fast paced basketball. So it should be fun to watch for sure. I think that's the biggest thing you look at with this game is that, you know, if you're Arkansas, do you try to match the pace and, you know, which I mean, I guess they could, obviously they obviously play at a high pace as well, or do you try to slow them down a little bit and maybe force it into a half court game and kind of limit transition opportunities. So I think that'll be part of it. You know, obviously then there's the guard matchup between Darius Acuff and LeBaron Filon. Those are two guys who are, in my eyes, firmly in the SEC Player of the Year conversation. And I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch. I know Nate Oates has been talking lately about, you know, LeBaron Filon and kind of these big time guard matchups, you know, maybe limiting his turnovers, especially early on in the game, you know, to give Alabama a better opportunity to win the game. But yeah, I think those are maybe the two big things that you look at. And then, you know, I think a third key is kind of how Arkansas is going to manage its wing position. Obviously, you know, Carter Knox and Isaiah Seely are both out for tonight's game. And, you know, that limits Arkansas's wing depth a lot. Obviously, you're going to be relying on Billy Richmond a ton. So, you know, is he going to play the full 40 minutes? I'm not sure. You know, if he doesn't, or if he gets into foul trouble, or, you know, whatever, you know, how does Arkansas kind of contend with that? You know, what kind of lineups does Arkansas throw out there? I think that's going to be another thing to watch for sure.
Yeah, you look at the last, I don't know, probably 2 weeks for these teams, and both of them have been playing well to the extent that they've been winning games. And the reason I say that is because neither of them have necessarily played the hardest group of teams. In Alabama, they did start that four-game win streak by beating Texas A&M in Tuscaloosa. They shot 48 three-pointers that night. I watched that one. Boy, that just tells you kind of the style that Nate Oates wants to employ. Just come down and jack up a three, and if you miss it, jack up another and hope you get an offensive board so you can shoot another three-pointer. Just kind of seems like that was their offense, at least in that game. And I think that's kind of a reflection of really what they like to do, right? I mean, maybe it's not 48 threes every game, but you're probably going to see 30 to 40 at least.
Yeah, so, I mean, Alabama, if I'm not mistaken, has the highest three-point attempt ratio comparative to, you know, its field goal attempts. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the number one in the country three-point ratio. You know, they don't have the number one three-point shooting percentage. I mean, just because, I mean, naturally you take more, you're going to miss more. But yeah, Alabama is very reliant on the 3-point line, and I think some of it is obviously, mathematically speaking, Nate Oates used to be a math teacher, and you get more threes, you get more points. So that's obviously a big reason for that. Get more threes, get more possessions, you get more points. And obviously it's led to a lot of success there, and also at Buffalo before he went to Alabama. So there is that. I think, sometimes I think the shot selection gets a little bit overlooked. I think Alabama isn't just going down there and chucking up prayers. I think the ball movement is good enough to where they get good shot selection, get open threes a lot of the time. So I think that's something to watch for. I think that's, part of, Alabama's game plan and all of that. So I think that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I mean, obviously we talked about the pace of play earlier, and, Arkansas plays at a high pace, but, it's kind of a contrasting style where Alabama's offense is kind of perimeter heavy, whereas Arkansas's is, lane touches, paint touches, and, getting to the rim heavy. So I think that'll be, it'll be a fun matchup of two teams that play fast, play at a high pace, but still kind of play contrasting styles. So I think that's going to be, an interesting thing to watch. Arkansas's defense has gotten better, since the Kentucky game. I think it's gone up 25 spots in defensive efficiency rankings and KenPom. And, I think that speaks to, how well they've played defensively over the last three games. But I'll also maybe a little bit of the opponents as well.
Well, and that's what I wanted to say. How much of that is Arkansas playing better defense, and how much of it is it playing Mississippi State and LSU and Auburn without Keyshawn Hall?
I think it's a little bit of a balance. I think, obviously, Mississippi State and LSU are not exactly offensive juggernauts this season. I mean, Mississippi State still has Josh Hubbard, who can, hurt anybody on any given night. And, LSU that night just straight up didn't show up, So, and then, obviously Auburn without Keyshawn Hall is going to be different than what Auburn is with him, as we, I think, saw in those two, in the two games that Arkansas and Auburn played against each other. So I think there's certainly some aspects of it, but I think you see, Arkansas doing some things better defensively. I think they're guarding the pick and roll a little bit better. I think physically they've protected the rim a little bit better. I think the rebounding still needs to improve, somewhat as well. And Kenny Payne said the same thing yesterday, when I asked him about the defensive numbers improving. But yeah, I think it's something of a balance. And I think that this game tonight is going to, be a big test for that, to see, if they can continue that positive trend for sure. I mean, Arkansas's defense guarding the 3-point line hasn't been atrocious by any means this season. I mean, there have been games in which, teams have hit a lot of threes. I mean, you think back to the Winthrop game, and I think that was a big, question mark about that. But, I think Arkansas's 3-point defense is ranked in the 40s, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be an interesting one for sure. But yeah, I think it's a balance of the opponent versus the actual improvements.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you said a little bit earlier about LeBaron Filon and some of the comments that Nate Oates had about him this week. And when I first heard it at first blush, it kind of sounded like he was kind of indirectly challenging Filon going into this game, where he's, it's not going to be just Acuff. I mean, there's going to be Malik Thomas out there too. And this is the quote. He said, quote, some of these big guard matchups he's had, he's not done a very good job taking care of the ball. If you go look at our losses, he's got too many turnovers, and he hasn't been what we need him to be on defense in all these matchups either. He goes on to say that Filon doesn't have to outscore Acuff. If that's what happens, it happens. He said he needs to lead his team to a win. That's taking care of the ball, making sure the team gets great shots, making sure the team plays great defense, which includes him playing great individual defense. So it's what do you make of this? Because, I don't cover Nate Oates, You know, we're not sitting there listening to him on a day-to-day basis in his press conferences. This may just be how blunt he usually is with reporters. But, you know, when I heard that, the first time I heard it, it kind of sounded like, hey, this is a coach who's, you know, kind of putting, you know, throwing down the gauntlet a little bit out there in the media, trying to get his star ready to match the level of play of the, you know, the star point guard for Arkansas, who's been so good, Darius Acuff.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think he is a, you know, pretty blunt guy. You know, just in my you know, more limited, I guess, interactions or press conferences in which I've, you know, listened to Nate Oates. Obviously, I try to tune into all the different SEC press conferences whenever I can. But, you know, there's a lot of press conferences, so there is that. But I do think it is kind of a little bit of a challenge. I mean, and he is correct in saying that, you know, in Alabama's losses, especially I think early on in those games, you know, there have been, you know, too many turnovers out of LeBaron Fialam for a guy who, you know, probably would have been a late first, early second round draft if he had stayed in the draft process after the exit or withdrawal deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is a little bit of a challenge, like a public challenge, if you will, which, you know, that's not, you know, it's not a new tactic. I think coaches have done that for a long time. And I think this is another one. And I think that guard matchup is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Like I said earlier, you know, I think, you know, Darius Acuff and LeBaron Fialam are both, you know, firmly in that SEC Player of the Year conversation. And, you know, obviously this is a big game for both teams, like you said, you know, with regard to the SEC standings and trying to catch Florida and putting, you know, each respective team in the best position to do so. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that matchup. I think it's going to be a ton of fun to watch. And, you know, from the neutral perspective, at least I'm really excited to watch that. And yeah, it's two great guards. And I think Nate Oates is trying to, yeah, get him to perform to his best for sure.
I want to ask you about Acuff in this Player of the Year race, because there's a lot of people or a lot of chatter, I guess, if you will, this week about, you know, he's only the SEC Freshman of the Week again. He's not getting into these SEC Player of the Week awards. Does it matter? Are any freshmen getting those awards? Because I don't pay enough attention to know for sure if that's going to a freshman or not.
I think Nate Ament has gotten a co-Player of the Week once or twice, maybe. He's definitely gotten a freshman of, or a Player of the Week, excuse me. I don't remember if he's gotten one or two, or if I know he's gotten a co one for sure. I don't remember if he's gotten a solo one. But yeah, I don't know how it's decided. In my experience covering, you know, mid-major leagues, I think it's the league coaches or SIDs vote on that.
Well, there's two different Player of the Year awards. There's one where the coaches vote, or, you know, maybe they, like you said, maybe they pass off their vote to their SID and they submit the vote for them. And then there's the AP vote. There was a year where, I think it was when Mason Jones was Player of the Year in the SEC, there were two other SEC Players of the Year. There was, you know, the coaches had their own Player of the Year, and then I think Mason Jones split the Player of the Year award with somebody else in the AP vote. So there could be multiple Players of the Year this year. Is Fialam, is he the number one, is he the number one candidate outside of Acuff? Is he the number one threat to Acuff winning SEC Player of the Year? Or who else might be in the discussion?
Yeah, I don't know that I would put him at number one. I think you have to talk about Thomas Houck as well, okay, out at Florida. I think Tyler Tanner is still in that discussion at Vanderbilt. You know, I think, you know, I know Kentucky lost last night, but Otega Owe, I think, is in the discussion as well. But then after you get away from those guys, maybe Nate Ament is putting himself in that conversation as well with how well he's played, you know, kind of since the new year turned. So I think that's probably right around the cut line. And I don't have all of the players in front of me, so if I'm forgetting anybody, I apologize. But yeah, I think that's probably the list, the short list that comes to mind immediately. But yeah, I think right now, if I were, you know, putting odds on it, which, you know, I'm not a bookie or or a betting man by any means. These awards, you know, in my experience, kind of go to best player on the winning team. So I think it's probably right now, it's probably leaning towards Thomas Hauk. But I mean, after that, I think it's probably, you know, Acuff, Filon, Tanner,
yeah,
Away, Ament in some order after that. But right now, yeah, I would say probably the favorite is probably Thomas Hauk. And then, yeah.
I know Georgia's a good team, but you mentioned Kentucky losing last night. Just a quick little aside, ever since that game here at Bud Walton a couple of weeks back when Kentucky came in and won, I watched Kentucky, even like when they beat Tennessee, they had to come back, and they didn't look real good for a lot of that game before they beat Tennessee. This is like three games in a row and like four out of their last six now where you look at them, you're like, how did they come into Bud Walton and beat Arkansas? I think we're going to look back at that game, especially if Arkansas ends up like a game back of Florida in the SEC race or somebody else, and say, man, like how did you let that one get away? Because I'm not convinced that Kentucky's a better team than Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, yeah, that's probably a fair.
And they shouldn't be a better
assessment
team than Arkansas in Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah, no, especially, I mean, that's not
if you go to Rupp and you lose that game. Yeah, I mean, like, if you go to Rupp and you lose that game, I think that's a little bit different story. But losing them at home, I still – and nothing's really changed my mind about this in the last 3 weeks. You just kind of come out of that and you say, how did you let that one slip through your fingers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And I remember just, like, looking back at that game, the defense was really poor. I mean, you give Kentucky credit for hitting the shots, but I remember the defense, especially, you know, to start.
Oh, like first 8 minutes was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Kentucky hit, if I'm not mistaken, 11 of its first 13 shots. Mm-hmm. And one of those missed shots was offensive rebound that was scored.
Yep.
And then second half, if I'm not mistaken, Kentucky shot 61% from the field. So defensively that game, you know, was not great, but then you turn around and you see, you know, that obviously was leading into the bye week for Arkansas. So, you know, since then the defense has looked a lot better, but, you know, like we mentioned earlier, it's been against a Keyshawn Hall-less Auburn and Mississippi State and LSU. So yeah, that kind of lends back into this game tonight, you know, how big of a challenge it's going to be and how much we're going to see that I guess, improvement, you know, kind of put to the test.
We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. Again, bentonvilleglass.com. Charles Bediako, what's this, game three that Alabama hasn't had him? They looked fine. I mean, they beat the doors off of Ole Miss, beat South Carolina pretty handily the other day. Some of that may be the opponent. What's not having him mean for them in this game tonight, do you think?
Well, I mean, first thing first, I mean, you lose a lot of size. I mean, he's a 7-footer and, you know, he's got, you know, professional experience for, you know, the previous, what is it, 2.5 years he left in 2023.
So, it sounds even more absurd when you say it out loud.
Yeah. I remember he was on the, I covered him when he was in college, which, you know, it's kind of crazy to think about, you know, not that I'm old by any means, but still it's kind of weird to think about. But yeah, I mean, obviously you lose a lot of size, you lose physicality, you lose a good rim protector, good rebounder, you know, and, you know, that's kind of some stuff that, especially in non-conference play, Alabama has struggled with, you know, was the physicality, the rim protection. And, you know, so you lose a guy who's, you know, good at that. And, you know, you're relying a lot on Aiden Sherrill, which, you know, Nate Oates had talked about recently as well. Just, you know, his workload is going to go up a ton, you know, or maybe, I guess, go back to what it was is the better way to put it, you know, without Bediako. And, you know, the front court depth is not what it is when you do have Charles Bediako. So I think that's a big, you know, I guess, re-challenge for Alabama without him. And yeah, I think that's what you're losing without him. And I know they went just 3-2 in the games that he had played in, but I mean, you look at, you know, how he affected the game against Auburn in that win, or you how he played against, you know, Missouri in that win. And those are two teams that are, you know, kind of desperate for, you know, in Auburn's case, or in both teams' case, you know, trying to, you know, get into the NCAA tournament and improve their seeding. I mean, Auburn is, I think, 14-11 and is slowly kind of trending more towards the bubble, you know, and, you know, that's with the number one strength of schedule in the country, which is why an 11 loss team is getting, you know, a lot of the benefit of the doubt, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want to challenge, or you don't want to punish teams for, you know, challenging themselves too much. And then, you know, you look at Missouri, that's a team that, you know, really needs wins to get into the tournament. And I don't even remember where I was going with this, but Charles Bediako affected those games, you know, a lot. Well, and, you know, those were big games for big wins for Alabama in this conference title race. So I think that's kind of a big miss that Alabama has with him now being ineligible.
You remember back early in the SEC season, Arkansas beat South Carolina. Nick Pringle had 15 points, 7 rebounds. And somebody asked him something along the lines of, you know, was this game personal to you? Because he'd been at South Carolina the year before. Or maybe it was about motivation. And whatever his answer was, it was basically not as much as it will be whenever we play Alabama. You know, he was at Alabama, was on that Final Four team, ends up going to South Carolina. I don't know what the story was there. But it sounded at that time, you know, hearing him say that, you know, maybe he left Alabama with you know, a little bit of animosity there or something. I wonder what kind of performance they're going to get from Nick Pringle tonight. Because, again, when he played those old teammates at South Carolina, he came out and he looked like a different player. He scored the first 4 points of the game, and he was a big reason why they, you know, they would have beaten South Carolina probably without him that night. But he was really a big reason where they were able to, you know, kind of set that tone early and get up so big that South Carolina had no chance to, you know, even make it a game here in Fayetteville. I wonder what kind of performance they get from him tonight in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and I think defensively especially, I think they're going to need him to play well. You know, without, you know, the wing depth for Arkansas, I think that Alabama might try to get to the rim a little bit more, you know, especially in moments in which Billy Richmond's not going to be on the floor, which, you know, unless he plays 40 minutes, there are going to be some. So I think that's going to be the case. I think Alabama, you know, tries to switch, you know, get favorable switches and, you know, try to get some, you know, smaller guards going off against, you know, Nick Pringle, you know. And that's something that Kenny Payne talked about yesterday. And, you know, he said that he was confident that the big guys can stay in front of guards whenever they are switched on to them. So I think that's going to be a, you know, a big factor in this game. But Nick Pringle, I think, you know, he's a guy who, you know, they're going to need him to rebound. You know, Alabama's going to be going for a lot of offensive rebounds, as we know, with the three-pointers. And yeah, I think, you know, going inside to him in this game, especially if you can get, you know, Aiden Sherrill into foul trouble early, I think would be a big thing for Arkansas. And I think that's maybe something to look out for. So I think he's going to be a big factor for sure. You know, and just kind of remembering, you know, that obviously this is, Kenny Payne was also asked if it was going to be a, you know, any extra motivation for Nick Pringle in this game. And he said, I don't know how it couldn't be. So, you know, it'll be interesting for sure. I think he's going to be a big part of the game.
He's got to stay out of foul trouble, Anthony. I mean, it's been very up and down for him this year in terms of foul trouble. I mean, early in the year, it was real bad in terms of he just couldn't stay out of foul trouble. Then he goes through a stretch where he only, you know, he plays good minutes against, you know, start with South Carolina, even go back the game before that. Well, let's start with South Carolina, 23 minutes, one foul. Georgia, 18 minutes, one foul. Vanderbilt, 15 minutes, one foul. But since then, it's been 4 fouls and 22 against LSU, 3 and 20 against OU, 3 and 13 against Kentucky. That was particularly bad. 3 and 28 against Mississippi State, 4 and 17 against LSU. And then he fouled out the other night against Auburn in 21 minutes. I mean, so this is several games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games straight where he's had at least 3 fouls. And in half of those, he's had 4 more. So that's the key for him, I feel like. And that's a big key for Arkansas is being able to have that rotation where Ewan and Pringle, they can kind of continually cycle out. But there's been a lot of games where that hadn't been able to happen because Pringle or Ewan in some cases too have found themselves in foul trouble.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that would be obviously a big thing to focus on for Arkansas, not just with those two, but I think particularly with Billy Richmond as well, without the wing depth like we keep talking about. But yeah, I think that's, like you said, that's going to be a big deal for them. I think especially, I think that's going to be, you know, something Alabama is probably going to try to do is try to get him into foul trouble. And I think it would be, And like I said earlier, I think it'll probably be the inverse. I think Arkansas might try to get Aiden Jarrell into foul trouble as well. So, yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, two things. And I think especially, you know, with Arkansas, you know, Taylor Bull Bowen, who was on that Florida State team last year with Malik Ewan, I think, you know, he was listed as questionable for this game. So if he can't go, then, you know, Alabama's front court depth will be tested even more. So, and obviously that's a hypothetical. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But, you know, if he can't, then I think you're definitely going to see it even more is Arkansas maybe trying to get Sherrill into foul trouble. So I think that'll be, you know, another little interesting chess match that goes into this game.
What do you think is going on with Carter Knox? I mean, this is three times now in four games where he's not going to play. He got into the Auburn game the other day, played limited number of minutes. I think 6 minutes is what he played against Auburn. What do you think is going on right there? And do you think this is something that is serious now that you're looking at this being, you know, something that's lasted for a couple of weeks, it seems like?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Obviously, you know, we're not, you know, getting into, we're not watching practice or anything. Kenny Payne didn't give us anything yesterday aside from we're going to check and see after practice. You know, the typical answers that you get from
you think
coach
the coaches really don't know before injury. Practice?
No, yeah. No way. Yeah. No chance. But no, so it's hard to say. You know, he did play a little bit against Auburn, only, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 6 minutes. John Calipari after the game said that he retweaked the knee that was, you know, hurt and kept him out of the Mississippi State and LSU games. You know, I'm planning on asking John Calipari about it again tonight after the Alabama game and see if he can give us anything, you know, in regard to that. So stay tuned on that. But yeah, it's hard to say just how serious it is, you know, without, you know, I guess just a release that's, you know, gives out a, you know, a diagnosis. Like, you know, that would be nice if we got one, I guess. But, you know, especially if it's not going to be, you know, a season ending injury or something along the lines of a, you know, a longer term absence. I don't know that you're necessarily going to get those. Like, you know, North Carolina released one with Caleb Wilson with a hand fracture. He'll be out indefinitely. Or, you know, Richie Saunders at BYU tore his ACL and he's out for the season. So, you know, since we haven't gotten one of those, maybe it's not as serious. And that's just me maybe reading too much into, I guess, press releases or no press releases or, yeah, it's hard to say without something like that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I.
we'll get you out of here on this. You know, we talk a lot about the SEC race because I really have thought, you know, all season that Arkansas's got a good chance to win the SEC. But again, you lose to Kentucky at home. And I don't think anybody expected Arkansas to go undefeated at home, but you lose that game at home and you got Florida playing as well as they're playing. And I think their next game's against Ole Miss. You would think that Florida probably has got a pretty good chance to win that one. You never know what's going to happen, but they're certainly going to be favored to win that. I felt all along that Arkansas was going to have to go somewhere and maybe to two different places and really steal one on the road, beat a team on the road where that team's going to be favored to win, where they're, you know, they've got a really good home court advantage. And like Alabama's really kind of been the one that's been, you know, at the forefront of my mind when I say this. I just feel like with the way Florida's playing right now, that if Arkansas has any chance of winning this SEC title, I feel like they got to go into Tuscaloosa and win this game tonight. I know that this isn't going to determine whether or not they win the SEC, but doesn't it feel like to you like this is kind of like the game that's going to tell you whether or not they're going to have a legitimate chance right there at the end to run down the Gators?
I think so, yeah. You know, obviously there's still other games to play. You don't know, you know, maybe Florida slips up against Ole Miss or whoever.
Here's Florida's remaining schedule, Anthony. They've got Ole Miss and Texas, both of those on the road. Arkansas comes into Gainesville, Mississippi State and Gainesville, and they end with Kentucky at Rupp.
Yeah, so it, you know, it's our, yeah.
Fairly
so
favorable maybe, schedule, maybe, I feel like, for Florida down the stretch.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, maybe maybe Florida slips up somewhere, but, you know, you can only control what you can control. And this is it's a huge game, not just for Arkansas, but for Alabama as well. If Alabama wants to get, you know,
They're still
a more firm footing in the race, I guess. So it is a huge game. And, you know, obviously Arkansas has had its struggles on the road and, you know, hasn't really beaten a great team on the road. You know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, they've lost at Michigan State, they lost at Georgia, lost at Auburn, mm-hmm. you know, beat Ole Miss, beat Mississippi State, beat LSU all on the road. I'm trying to think. Oklahoma has struggled this season. I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I'm trying to remember the games.
Yeah, LSU, but, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, those are the mm-hmm. are the road wins.
Yeah, so it's, you know, those aren't, you know, I wouldn't call those games that you
Ole Miss
went and
stole.
Yeah, so yeah, the Ole Miss game felt like more of a neutral site for a lot of it because because obviously that was the day before the college football playoff game, mm-hmm. so I think people's minds were elsewhere. And understandably so. I think I agree. I certainly agree with the idea that Arkansas is going to have to go and steal one of these games, you know, on the road. And I think this is a huge one for them tonight, and you know, for both teams, but for Arkansas's perspective of maybe not stealing, maybe stealing is the wrong word, but you know, getting a marquee road win, I think is huge, especially you know with. You know, the Florida road game in 10 days being potentially for, you know, Florida to all but maybe clinch the title and, mm-hmm. and for Arkansas to potentially, I guess, you know, tie for first place if everything goes to plan for both teams. You know, so it's yeah, a big one for sure.
Yeah, Alabama, they're 9-3 at home this year. They're not totally unbeatable there, but they're really hard to beat. I don't know if it'd be stealing, but it certainly would be a big road win. Anthony, enjoy yourself in Tuscaloosa tonight. Try not to raise your voice when you ask John Calipari about the student section.
Mick Cronin is hilarious. I'll leave my Mick Cronin thoughts at that.
Seems like
I laughed.
It seems like he's losing his mind a little bit this year at UCLA. Good stuff. You can read
Mick
Anthony.
Mick Cronin is nothing if not entertaining.
Yeah. All right. You can read Anthony at WholeHogSports.com. We'll be back here in studio tomorrow. Bubba Carpenter will be back in here. We'll take a look at this Arkansas-Xavier series coming up at Baum Walker Stadium. Hope to see you then or at our website, WholeHogSports.com. Have a great day.